everybody. Welcome back to Can You Put Me On Guest List. I'm Katie Knight, and this week's guest is an artist that has grown so quickly over the last couple of years. She's playing some of the best clubs and festivals around the world and releasing music on some of electronic music's biggest labels. This week, my guest is Alicia. Now, I haven't interviewed Alicia for a couple of years now, so it was really nice to catch up with her and talk about all of the amazing things that she's achieved since then. I mean, playing for Paradise, she's recently released on Hot Creations, she has just made her debut with Music On, has a huge summer ahead of her, especially here in Ibiza. I mean, she's literally playing all of the best parties around the island. We also talk all about how she started out and how she was balancing her job as a waitress with DJing. So I'm so happy that she's been on the podcast to tell her story. And besides that, she's just a gem of a person. So I'm sure that you're going to really love this chat too. Thank you for listening. And if you are listening to this and actually want to watch the podcast, then you can do so over on Spotify and also on YouTube. This is Alicia here on Can You Put Me On Guest List.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Long good. Time no see.
I know. I think the last one was when we chatted about Elro, I think, on Elrose.
We did the Elro Twitch.
Yeah. I think so. That was like in the pandemic, I think.
Yeah, that was ages. I know, I have seen you since there then.
Like, yeah. But I think the last time we had a proper chat was then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Have we seen each other since then?
I think like we've bumped into each other a few times.
Must have done.
Yeah. When we did the Twitch thing, didn't something happen then? Like, it wouldn't connect, or there was like something crazy.
I think that was my fault. It just, nothing would work as per usual. So I think it's 1-1 now.
That's it. 1-1. We just started, and my mic actually wasn't plugged in.
Because of myself as a brick baller.
Where are you?
I'm in my studio, but just ignore that. That's just when they built my studio, they decided to just put a front door in. And I was like, is that going to be forever? And they were just like, well, do you want to pay for a new door? And I was like, I mean, it doesn't really affect me. But now when I do like meetings and stuff, they're like, are you at home? Are you in the conservatory? And I'm like, no, I'm in my studio.
It's so funny.
I believe it. Definitely, I'm in my studio. Maybe I should actually get a proper door. But yeah, no, I'm in my studio.
Or just paint it black.
I should do, you know, I'm just so lazy. Like they've said to me, oh, we'll do it, you know, we'll put like a black thing. And I'm like, oh, it's all right. Cause then it means I just have to kind of like be here when they're doing it or give them the keys. And I'm just a bit of a freak like that. So I'm like, oh no,
It looks like it's like dark where you are, or is it like blackened out that window at the top?
It's just, that's like tinted. So on the outside, it's all bright. It's like a big unit. So yeah.
Where do you live?
Peterborough.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where you're from, isn't it?
Yeah. Born and bred. I'm in such a good location though. So for me, it's not really worth moving right now. I'm literally close to all airports, north, south. So for me, it's kind of all right. Yeah. Main train stations. So.
Easy. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I actually love this podcast. I'm not going to lie. I listen to it loads. I do. I've literally listened to so many episodes. When you asked, I said to my tour manager, I was like, I'm going to be put you on guesses. And he was like, no way. Oh, I can't be harsh at that. We love it. I think it's sick. So yeah, I'm buzzing to be on it, to be fair.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, we always kind of start from the very beginning of everyone's career. So I would like to start off by asking where your love for music came from.
You know, I think I always love music. I grew up with it, with obviously my mum and just music she used to listen to. I don't, honestly though, it wasn't really like house music. It was kind of like R&B, hip hop, like old school. So I honestly, I don't know where this whole thing for house music came from. I can only put it down to when I was going out into clubs, and it was kind of like EDM, like the sound then it was and like going to Creamfields was like my first festival, so that's where I was exposed to like everything, like all music types. But yeah, my love for music has always been there. It's just been like kind of like all genres. Like I love R&B and hip-hop even to like this day. But yeah, just house music has come from just kind of going out as a young one, I think, and just getting all the inspiration when I've been to the festivals. So yeah.
But from a young age, have you always thought that you actually wanted to make a career out of music?
No. I actually wanted to be a PE teacher. I don't know why, because I just can't even bother to walk down the street. So I don't even know where that came from. But I wanted to be a PE teacher, like personal trainer. I don't know where I even thought that was even gonna come from. I did PE in school. I didn't even do music in school whatsoever. It was literally just pure like PE sports. That was me. That's like it. I just do every sport I could. And like played football and stuff. And I thought that was the career I was going to go down. And then just the clubs took over me. Yeah, literally. So it was such a random thing. Cause yeah, when I used to go out, it wasn't really kind of, there was some DJs that I knew about, but it wasn't really like a massive thing. Kind of like me and all my friends, it wasn't really like, wow, we need to be like them. It was like a really random way of doing it. I just woke up and just thought, oh, well, I'll just go for it, and just brought myself a controller, literally not knowing where it would take me. I just thought, oh, I'll just have some fun with it. And that was it.
So you'd bought it kind of just as a hobby, really?
Yeah, I must have had a dream about it or something, because there was not one part of me that even thought about it or had been thinking about it for ages. I think I thought about it a little bit, and then I think I mentioned it to my friends, like, oh, how cool would it be to be a DJ? And they all just was like, no way, like laughed and whatever. So I was like, oh, maybe not. I'll stick to my PE teacher. And then I must have had a dream about it, because I remember waking up, and it was genuinely about 8 a.m. and I went straight on eBay and bought it, and it was like £30. So as soon as I woke up, I literally woke up, went on my phone, went on eBay and just ordered the first thing I saw. So I must have had some sort of dream about it, because I was like, why have I just done that?
That's crazy.
You must have
had like in your subconscious, like this idea that this is what you wanted to do. But you need to dream that and then just do it. Like
It must have been like, you know, when you get them like impulsive thoughts.
Yes.
It must have just been that. And I just went for it. But then I told everyone, and everyone was just laughing at me. Literally, I was like, why have you done that? And you're like,
look what I'm doing now.
Yeah, literally, all just like, yeah. So it was, I've never really, like, genuinely, I never studied music at school, never took it as a GCSE, A-level. So it just kind of really out of the blue.
Do you think you are an impulsive person? Or was it just that?
I don't think I am, because I hate change and I hate doing things in the moment. I have to have a pure plan about it.
Yeah, I'm like that.
When I say the story, I'm like, who was I?
That must have come from something, because if you're not really an impulsive person and just to literally dream about that, wake up and do it, then...
I must have just, you know, when I was younger, I used to go out like every weekend, and it must have just come from that. And I just thought, yeah, that'd be cool. But it's one of them things where I've done so many hobbies and so many different things where I've always said, this is going to be my career. And it never has. I used to quit everything. I used to get really bored after like a couple months. And my mum was like, oh, yeah, here we go again. I never think you're going to quit. So I was just like, yeah, I'll probably get bored of it. But
How old were you when that happened?
Well, I think I've been DJing, well, it came up with a memory the other day, and it said 8 years. So it must have been a year before that, so I'd say 9, probably nearly on 10 years, to be honest, because I didn't play out or anything when I got the control. It was just like in my room.
Yeah.
But then I remember like time after that, then I did. So I'm assuming it must be about 9 years ago. So how old am I now? 21. So no, I'm not 21, obviously. I got you there. No, I'm 28 now. So I'm 28. So yeah, just before I was 20 then. So
I was literally gonna be like, oh, please don't tell me you're 21. I feel like this is the first year I actually feel old.
No way.
As soon as you turn 30, life changes. And I know everybody says that.
Yeah, I'm not so far true. Away. I'm really not far away. It's scary. But
you've still got 2 years though.
Yeah, it's well, 29 in January. So I can't see it. So I've got about a year and a bit left, but it'll be all right.
We'll be fine. It's just horrible thinking you're 30. I literally was always like, nah, I'll never feel bad when I'm 30. And literally the day I turned 30, I was like, that's it.
Oh, no way. I feel like things have changed now. When I was in school, I was like, I wanted to do everything. When you have a different perception, don't you? And it's like 25 is when I everything. Like, but now it's like 30s or whatever. So I feel like it's just a different change now.
So were you studying then when you first bought this controller?
Yeah, so I was in, was I in sixth form? I can't, you know what, I can't even remember the years and the things that I was in school anymore. You know, when you, I just literally can't even think. But yeah. I knew I was still in school. I don't know if I was in year 11 or sixth form, but I'm guessing I was in sixth form just by judging the time. And then, yeah, literally, I must have just, I didn't tell anyone for ages because they thought, obviously, was laughing the first time. So I thought, well, I'm not going to tell anyone now. So I just kept it a secret. And then I thought, again, my impulsive thoughts that are no longer here, I just put a mix on SoundCloud. And everyone was like, when have you started doing this? What on earth are you doing this? And I was like, oh, I've actually had it for ages. So yeah, that genuinely was it. And yeah, then I was working alongside like trying to kind of like get out there really.
What were you working as?
I used to work at the Harvester as a waitress, and then like kind of I went up to assistant, and then I was there from when I was in school. So I was there for a good 6-7 years. So yeah, I loved it, I'm not gonna lie. I'm such like a sociable person.
Yeah.
You know, I just love to chat. And I really actually did enjoy it. It took me a long time to leave. And that said a lot, because I was just, my manager was like, it's time to, you can leave now. I was like, no, I can't. Yeah. What am I going to do with them 3 hours a week I'm trying to work? But no, it was, yeah, I think I did things right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just kind of, it's such a distant memory now, but I still remember everything like it was yesterday. It's so weird.
How did your first gig come about then?
Well, there was so I used to be, I used to be friends with the guys, like a company around here that did like the Tuesday nights, like the cheap nights in Peterborough. And he obviously saw my mix, and he was like, oh, do you fancy like, because I used to go out on Tuesday nights, like cheap or whatever. And he was like, oh, do you fancy like, you know, playing a bit? And I was like, no. I was like, absolutely not. And he was like, come on, like just do half an hour, bearing in mind I've never gone on anything apart from this controller. So he was like, you can bring all your stuff. I was like, for half an hour I'll bring all my stuff. But I did, and I just thought I'll go for it. And then I just played half an hour just of like whatever it was at the time. I can't even remember. It must have been some like dance anthems, some like really housey records that were about at the time, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. It was so good. All my friends are there just going nuts. And yeah, it was just loads of fun. And that was like the first time that I'd actually played to like people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it didn't go. I just played half an hour and I thought it was like the dream come true.
Did they ask you back after?
Well, they did, but then it kind of like, it was really a really weird thing from there, because I feel like I played that and then the mix started getting around a bit, and then I started to get actual sets. So it was like, I just did the one there, and then it was like kind of, I was actually getting booked, you know, in like London and stuff. And I was just like, oh, well, this is it now.
Well, this is my life now.
Yeah, well, here we go. Just taking all my controller and stuff and my backpack and that. But yeah, it was honestly by that mix on SoundCloud. It done so much for me. And at the time, SoundCloud was such like a platform where I don't think it is much anymore, but promoters used to go on there, and then mixes used to go like kind of like viral at the time, you know, and it was like 1,000 plays was like insane. And like, but yeah, so that's kind of how it all started for me. I dread to think what that mix was like. I wish I kept it.
I was just about to say to you, do you still have that mix?
No, I've had a new Mac, but I wonder if I can find it. I had like my old MacBook and I tried to find it. I must have had a complete like clear out when I started to kind of get a name for myself. I must have thought I need to delete everything old. Sorry, there's no old tracks anywhere of mine. And I'm like, where can I find all my music? It needs to go. So I must have just deleted everything, which I'm so gutted about, because I wish I did see what was on that, because it wouldn't have been anything major. So I just want to know what promoters used to book me by.
It must have been a really good mix though.
At the time, it was now. I doubt very much it would be now. I'd probably get sacked from everything if they heard that now. But
I went through all of like my old interviews on YouTube not long ago and started deleting stuff. I was like, this has to go.
It always is the way, like archiving posts and stuff. I'm just like, I've done that. But yeah, I really wish I had that mix.
So at what point did you think, right, that this is it now? Like, I'm going to make a career out of music and I don't need to work for anything else. This is what I'm going
to
do.
I don't need to work. I'm massive. No, I'm joking. It wasn't, it honestly wasn't like that at all. I honestly never thought this would be a career. Even kind of like playing, you know, the smaller gigs and like building up, I honestly hadn't thought it was never going to go anywhere. Mm. Even now, I think, I know I'm so grateful now that I am able to do this as a full-time job, but I still genuinely can't believe it. Because I always used to say, God, imagine like waking up every day and like making music and playing music, and it's just such a far thought when you first kind of start, because it's so hard to kind of get into the market. So much like there's so many DJs now and so many producers, and everyone's kind of wanting to do the same thing, and it's so hard to be different and stand out. Yeah, so genuinely, as I said, it was like when I went to my manager at my work was so supportive, and he was like, any, because I used to go to a gig on a Saturday night, I used to drive there, drive straight back. I used to like close egg like 5 till 6 a.m. for nothing, and then I'd have my work clothes in my back, in, you know, the back of my car, and I'd drive straight to work. So it'd take two and a half hours to drive back to Peterborough. And I'd go straight to work at 9 a.m. for the breakfast shift. And
wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I used to do that near enough every week. Just drive through the night just to make this set, like just to play. And then I'd go straight to work. And I think there was one time where I turned up and I was just so exhausted to work.
I can imagine.
My manager was like, just go home. Like, just go home. But yeah, he was so supportive. As things started to grow, he was really behind me and said, look, anything you need, like, let's change your hours. Do you need Saturdays off? Do you need Sundays off? And I was like, that would be amazing. So it got to a point where I was just working kind of like Monday to Friday. Saturday and Sunday would be my days off. And then, yeah, just things started to progress. And then my manager came on board. And I remember him calling me still when I was on my break at the Harvester, like out the back. And he was just like, we're going to smash it. And I was like, yeah, yeah. Thinking in my head, like, no chance. I was like, literally on my half an hour break at work thinking, oh God, what am I doing? Like going in and serving the salad bar. I thought, no chance. And yeah, just, it was honestly, it's such a weird experience, because I feel like over time then my hours just kept dropping down and dropping down.
Mm.
Then it got to a point where I was only where I said to my manager, I can't leave. I literally can't leave this job. And I could have left, I don't know, 6 to 8 months before I actually did. And he was like, look, if you're not comfortable with leaving, you're not, but you are now like kind of at a place where you are stable for the next 6 to 7 months. So anything that happens in that time, like, you are fine. Because like the gig we had and stuff, he was like, you're fine. I was like, no, I'm not. I'm such like a freak. Like, I'm like, once I leave, I don't want to go back. Does that make sense? Yeah.
But so what do you think it was that made you not want to leave? Do you think it was the fact that it was kind of like, okay, this has all happened really quickly and it's kind of scared of knowing what's next? Or was it just because you just genuinely really, really loved working there?
I think it was a mixture, because I'd worked with the same people for six, seven years. It was still the same team. Like, we were like best mates. I saw them more than I did my own family, you know, because I was there all the time. Just, you know, I had all, you know, just the social element of it. You know, I had my regulars every day and not every week. And I don't know, it was just that exciting thing, because then I thought, if this is taken away from me, who am I going to talk to in the week? I'm going to be very lonely, because, you know, that's what people don't see, is the midweek aspect of it. And that was kind of my thing every week, where it's like, I get to go in, I get to chat, I get to speak to my mates. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, catch up on everything from the weekend and tell everyone about what I've been doing. And then I was like, what am I going to do? Is it going to be very lonely? Am I going to, you know, struggle? And also the financial aspect of it was also like hanging over my head. It was like, am I going to be okay? Like, you know, I've still got bills and stuff to pay. Am I going to be all right? And I think it got down to, I was working 12 till 3 p.m. one day a week. I was literally doing the lunchtime. And my music manager, David, he was like, probably time you give it up now. I was like, no, I'm perfectly fine. And he was like, honestly, like, the more you drag it on, he was like, you don't actually need to be there. He was like, you can fill that 3 hours with something else, like studio, or, you know,
yeah,
you're just, it's just kind of like, it's a waste. But to me, it wasn't. So it took me such a long time. And then I think finally went in and like handed my notes. My manager was like, about time, but in the nicest possible way.
Yeah.
He was just like, I knew this day would come. And he was like, and yeah, it was just, it was so lovely because everyone was just so behind me. And I think that's what made it so much more easier. Like, I don't know what other job that could, you know, I was working like 60 hour week. So to go from 60 to 3, he had a business to run. Like, we've got, you know, we had a business to run. So he was, the fact that he was just so behind me in kind of doing something else and was allowing me to do that, I'll always be so grateful for, because it made it so much easier for me. It was kind of like I went down to the actual point where it was like, okay, I'm hardly making any money from the harvester now. Now I know I can do it. So let's do it. I think if I would have gone from 60 hours down to like nothing in an instant, it's quite daunting. So yeah, that's kind of it really.
It's so nice that you can work with a team like that though, and that you enjoy a job so, so much.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
to be
yeah.
able to hang on to it for that long, like, obviously means that you really enjoyed what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah,
which and is just special.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think, yeah, it's just kind of when you make friends at a place as well, it's so hard to kind of like come away from it, because I loved seeing them every week, and they were so interested in what I did at the weekend, because to them they didn't really know like the scene or whatever. So I just loved like chatting away, just like,
yeah,
Nadelle. But no, it was so good, and it was the best decision I've made. I don't regret it.
Look, everything that's happened since.
Yeah, and that's what I think. That's what my team said to me, and was like, it's either going to go one or two ways. You're going to kind of like coast for a little bit, and then we're going to, you know, rise, or leaving your job, you can rise kind of like near enough straight away, just depending on the opportunities. And luckily for me, like it definitely paid off. So yeah, here we are.
What do you think has been the most difficult part of your career so far?
Oh, God, that's such a good question. That is such a good question. Difficult. I genuinely believe it probably is trying to stand out and be different from everyone else, or trying to have that... you know, like personality, or what people can connect to try and build your profile, because you can make so much good music. But in this industry, as we all know, it just sometimes isn't enough now. And it hasn't been for a while. You kind of have to try and do everything to make you likable, or, you know, play a great set, make good music, create content. And I think for me, that was kind of like such a struggle, and it really... I was thinking, well, I just want to be myself. I just want to play music, and I just want to make music. Do you know what I mean? But it hasn't been a massive struggle. I really enjoy everything about it. Obviously, the pandemic was a real big blow, I think, for everyone, especially in our industry. I left my job, and then it was kind of like 4 months after, then we went into lockdown. So it's kind of like all my worries that was happening through my job, it came to reality. But you know, we're all over that now, and it's all good vibes. But yeah, there hasn't really been a point in my career where I thought, God, this is really tough. Yeah. I don't think. I've been quite lucky, and I have such an amazing team around me. Because I'm a big worrier. I like really worry about everything.
Do you?
Yeah. The tiniest thing, if the tiniest thing goes wrong, I'm like, oh God, like I really panic. And I can't rest until it's done. But with my team, they just kind of allow me try not to be like that. Which is good. So I'm just
That's what they're there for, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
For you to take away that stress from you.
But then also it's like, I try to be a perfectionist, because obviously it's my brand. my name is brand, and like you just try, you have to make sure, I want to make sure that everything is received well and goes down well and I do well. And I think that's just, I think it's just because we care, I think.
Absolutely. It's something that I often think about though. Like obviously all DJs, artists start off working by themselves and then eventually take on a manager or take on an agent. How did you find that process from kind, not that you're handing it over because you're still working with them, but having somebody else in control of like what you do and what, and your image and your name? Like, how did you find that process? Did you?
Even to this day, and my managers, when they listen, they'll know that if they, I don't know what it is. I like to do everything. I'll hear advice and I'll hear people's views. But if I've got something in my head, it will take a lot to kind of, if I see the other side of it, which is something I really should work on. But yeah, it was kind of like I was used to doing everything. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't to the point where it was kind of, I was only, you know, playing a few gigs, so it was okay. When he did kind of take over, it was a great feeling because I didn't have to deal with kind of all that side of things. But yeah, when even to this day, where they, you know, maybe we should do this, and I'm like, no, we shouldn't. And I'm, and he's like, can you just hear me out? And I'm like, I'll hear you out, but we're not doing it. But then after, then I'm like, actually, that's a really good idea. And then, but at first, I'm like, no, because I can't deal with change straight away. If I get told I'm doing something, I stick to it. It's kind of like a, I like to work towards it. Then if it's changed, I'm like, no, I've got this in my head. But then literally I'll leave it for 10 minutes and I'll think about it. And I'm like, actually, that is actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
So I'm like making the call, like, actually.
Right. So you know what we're talking about earlier? Yeah. So just going like, back.
Just think that wasn't me on the phone earlier. So yeah, we're good to go. Go and do it. But yeah, it does... it's just one of them things, I think. I don't know why. I'm just really set in my own ways. And I do listen to everything that comes in, but it kind of, yeah, I have to really think about it first before.
I don't think that's a bad thing, though, because it's obviously because you are just so passionate about what you do and obviously care so much about, you know, where your career is going. So I don't think that's a bad thing.
But... I think it's just one of them situations where I hate to admit, but I always think that I'm right and I'm not. I'm really not. So I'm just like, no, we're doing it my way. This is the way I want to do this. I want to do that. And then I'm like, these guys have been in the business way longer than I have. They know way more than I do. I'm just here to play tunes. So I'm just like, actually, I should probably listen to them. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't think I'll ever change. It's the same with anything though. In and out of music, I'm the same. I'm like, if I want to do something, I'll do it. And if it backfires on me, then it's my fault. Do you know what I mean? Like I have to learn for myself, so yeah,
absolutely
bad trait to have, I guess, but
if you could choose three of your favorite or top career highlights so far, which ones would they be? Because you've done so much, like especially over the last couple of years, which we'll talk about in a minute, but if you had to choose three, what would they be?
Yeah, there has been so many incredible moments, so hard to put it down to three, but one obviously that sticks out in my head is making my Paradise debut last year. It's just a party that I've always wanted to play for. That was like top of my goal, really, when I first started. I was like, the day I play for Paradise, that's me done. I'm done.
I was so excited for you when I saw that, because I don't know if we'd had the conversation before or I knew for a fact that was
you
one
knew
of
I,
your...
Yeah. I think I told you, didn't I?
Yeah.
I was like, I got Paradise!
I know, like... so buzzing for you. So well deserved.
Thank you. But it was such a shock to me when it came, and I just remember crying my eyes out. I couldn't stop crying. I think it's just because I worked towards it for so long, and I was just so under the impression, I was like, Paradise is so, you know, particular in who they book, and you have to be a part of the late one of Jamie's labels before getting booked, and it just kind of like it came out of nowhere. I really didn't expect it. I remember Nick Yates texted me at 7 a.m. in the morning saying, like, I have a Paradise booking for you, who's your, and I was like, what? I literally just started straight, I went, I couldn't contain it, because I was like, you're joking. I like texted my manager and I was like, Nick's text me. I was like panicking. And then it was all like done deal like before 9 a.m. in the morning on a weekday, which I was just like, corner. I've woken up to this. So yeah, I made that. That was at Amnesia last year for the first time. And it was just like, you know, all my friends came. It was such an occasion. Yeah, that will always be such a memory for me. Just that first time ever playing for them. So yeah, that one. My first all night long last year as well, which I've never done before, and it was just so incredible. It was in Manchester, at Joshua Brooks.
Wow.
And just, yeah, we sold it out, and it was just kind of like my first time playing start to finish. And then I just knew that everyone kind of brought ticket was there to see me, and I think that for me was such like a big achievement, because I know when I play on these lineups and stuff, like, you know, for big parties, people don't really go for you, but like specifically you, do you know what I mean? They go to the party and the lineup that's built around it. So I think just knowing that everyone in that club was kind of like there for me was so nice. And I was seeing people that people traveled up from wherever, and it was just so lovely. Like, the vibe in there from start to finish was just insane.
So nice.
Yeah.
Was it nerve-wracking, like, doing that from start to begin?
It was 5 hours, and I was like, how am I going to play for 5 hours? And then it was kind of, I was 3 hours in, and then I looked at the time, and it was like, I've got 2 hours to go. And then I was like, oh my God, I've not even got through half of the tracks I wanted to get through. So kind of now I know that, you know, I don't have to pace myself as much. I was really scared, because I was just like, how am I going to go for that long? I've only played for 3 hours. But it was, yes, yeah, such an incredible experience. One that I'd love to just do again and again. And God, yeah, the third one. I think just like signing my records, I think. I had 4-track EP on EastEnders last year. And that's a label and a party I've always wanted to be a part of. And then obviously the one recently. So I think just signing music is just, it will never get old for me. I love it. And especially on labels, which I've always wanted to be a part of. Yeah. So I think them three, yeah, that covers the DJ and producing side of things. So yeah.
I know. And a huge congratulations on Changes.
Thank you.
More creations.
I know. God, I get giddy about it every time I speak about it. I love it.
I'm again so excited for you and like everything that's coming up. But tell us a little bit about the story behind Changes and how all this came about.
So I wrote the track so quickly. It was about, yeah, literally 13, 14 months ago now. And yeah, I just found this vocal and I was like, wow, I've got such a connect, like this vocal, I've never heard it before. So I just built the track. I must have wrote in about 4 hours, and I sent it to my manager, and he was like, this is the one. He was like so excited about it. He was like, don't send this anywhere. Don't send it to anyone. We're going to do this on our own label, blah, blah. And I was like, this was a prime example of me going, don't think so. I just was like, yeah. On the phone, I was just like, okay, so what, you're telling me that I need to wait another year, 2 years with this track? He was like, yeah, don't send this anywhere. Like, I mean it. Like, we're going to keep this. I literally came off the phone and I went straight on my emails and sent it to Jamie, and no one knew that I sent it to Jamie. And I kept it quiet and I thought, oh, I'm going to really regret this, aren't I? And he must have came back in about a week, I think. Yeah, a week, 2 weeks. And he just said, he emailed me and he was just like, I would really love to have this on Hot Creations. You know, we'll need to clear the vocal. Let me know your thoughts. And I just remember looking at my phone. I thought, what have I done? I just thought, how am I going to tell myself? But then I was like so excited. But then I tried not to pee, because then I know about the whole clearing process. And I thought, no, I can't get too excited yet. But I remember ringing my manager. I was like, I've kind of done something and I don't know how you're going to react. And he was like, go on. And I just said, look, I've sent the track to Jamie, and he wants it. And I've never heard my manager like that ever. He was like buzzing. He was like, whoa, there he's going. He was like, no way, you're lying. And I thought he was going to go the complete opposite, but he was like over the moon.
Amazing.
But yeah, we started the process. Like, obviously the thread began, and yeah, it took about 4 or 5 months to clear the vocal. And then they didn't really, the Hot Creations didn't want it out in the winter, because obviously it is kind of like a more, you know, summer track. So we waited, and yeah, so it has been signed for a long time. I think it was, yeah, 13 months since it was signed to have the release. But it was worth it. God, it was worth it.
I bet this time your manager, you're like, see, I was right this time.
Yeah, literally. And I've been like, you know, I've been making tracks since. And I said to him, oh, maybe I'll do it for this label. And he was like, well, if I tell you to do that, you'll do the opposite. So do what you want. Okay.
Yeah, okay, if you say
yeah,
so.
I'll do that. But no, it's, again, Hot Creations and Paradise was something that it always, to me, when I first started that, you know, Hot Creations and still is one of the, if not the top label in the industry, and is one of the major labels that everyone wants to be signed to. You know, the artwork, you know, like Jamie, you know, the releases that they've put out is incredible. And yeah, I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it now. Like, I think, wow, like, I can't believe I've actually done that, like, genuinely. But I'm just so glad because, you know, I've earned Jamie's respect and, you know, and he's so lovely, and you know, he was so buzzing to have it, and he's been, you know, playing it for a year, and it's just like, and then the respect the record's got from like other like really credible artists is something that I just love, because the messages I've received from artists that I've never spoken to but I've really looked up to, just kind of well done, like, well done, the track's amazing, you deserve it, you know, hard work.
You do, you like, really do.
Well, I don't know about that, but just like hearing from other people, like, you know, you've worked hard for it, and you know, people don't just see what the outside brings, so it's so nice, because I know that I've grafted, but everyone does as well, everyone grafts, and you know, and it's so lovely to hear that people actually like are really liking what I'm doing. And I mean, the track gets on my nerves now. No, I'm joking, but like, it's, you know, I never
does
thought
that happen. Does that actually
like,
happen?
Yeah, I never thought the day would come. Like, you know, it was time to like announce it all, and I was like, oh no, I can't do that. it's not ready. And they were like, yeah, come on, we've got 10. I was like, oh no, I don't think I can announce it yet. And it was like, I've waited a whole year to do this, and now it's got to it, and I'm like freaking out. I was like, no,
was it nerves that was freaking you out?
Yeah,
I was like
no one's gonna like it. I was just like embossed. I was like, no, I don't know how to do it, no one's gonna like the tune, it's too old, it's not current. And then the response was just like incredible. But it's just, I think I get like that with a lot of things, which is normal. Again.
Which is so normal.
Yeah,
so normal. Especially if it's going on for such a long time. Jamie'd like been playing it for ages. That's probably it. Just kind of was like,
yeah,
shit, it's here.
I know. And then like, I woke up on release day and I was like, oh, well, that's it. And I'm like, yeah. There we go. There's a year of waiting. Hope you all like it. On to the next. And I was like, but no, it's been so good. The response has been amazing. You know, and just people loving the track and whatever. It's not going to be. It's kind of different from what I have made in the past. But I think that's what, you know, I don't just sit in the studio and be like, I'm going to make this. It just kind of happens. So, you know, I'm just glad it's gone down well, really, and it's had the perfect home for it. So
yeah, absolutely. Last year you had an amazing summer here in Ibiza, and I'm sure this year is not going to be any different. I don't know how much you can tell us, because I have been told by Emma, your publicist, that I don't know how much you're allowed to say about get dates, or is everything out now?
Oh, I could. I'll tell you all.
Okay, go on then.
Well, most of the announcement has been done. But my schedule hasn't gone out yet. It probably will be next week though, but I have 11 dates this year on the island. I have 5 with Paradise this year, which is from 1 last year to 5.
Amazing.
But I have 5 Paradise this year, which I'm honestly over the moon about. So I'm playing for Paradise, Elro, Ants, Abode, and I have another brand. I don't know when they're going out yet, so I don't know when this podcast is going out, so I don't want to kind of explain. I'm really excited. I'm there quite a lot this year, it starts next week. My show next week is Ants. That's the first one.
Here next week,
May the 13th. My season starts next week, so yeah, I'm just so, I love Ibiza. I think I haven't met anyone who doesn't, and I just love everything about it, so I'm so excited that I'm just there so much this year.
There's a proper like real nice buzz on the island this
is
year
there?
Well. Everyone's like this is gonna be the season. Obviously last year was busy, but it was also like, I think because it was the year the first year of us opening back up again, still a lot of people would had like holidays that they'd had booked for like previous years. So like there were still people coming, but it was a little bit weird still. And like this year, everyone's
I can't wait to get out there. So yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really happy with you know, how many dates I've got, and it's just I just can't wait.
Gonna see you loads here. I love it. Right, to end, I have two things for you. So number one, this is a pack of cards and they all have really random questions on. Obviously, you can't pick them, but you're just going to have to tell me when to stop shuffling. And then whatever one comes up the top is going to be your question.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. Your favorite person to party with is?
Oh, God. Oh, does it have to be another DJ, or can it be?
Let's say somebody that's DJ and somebody that's not a DJ.
Okay. Oh God, that's so hard. Oh, not a DJ. God, I'm gonna upset some people here. I can't say one person; they'll kill me. I'm just gonna say this because I'm with him all the time. So, oh no, I can't. Well, it is. I'm with my tour manager, obviously, all the time, and we have the best time together. So, Will or my best friends, like, you know, I've got a group of boys and girls who they come to near enough every show of mine when they can. So, I always go about with, you know, a big group of us. So, I can't just say one person because they'll kill me. They'll stop going. You'll start seeing me on my own at the show.
all of them.
I know. So yeah, I can't say, but yeah, obviously I'm with Will a lot, so that's all good. DJ wise, do you know what? We go to, you know, if we're off and we go together, I normally am with Late Replies quite a lot in the clubs. I love them. We go out together, and I'm with Weets all the time when we're off and we go out. So
I love him.
Yeah, so we have the best time. And you know, they're really good friends of mine. So yeah, I think just
good and
I, yeah, no, there is a lot of DJs which I can party with, but you know, me, Weets, like we actually go out together. So we actually start the night together and go out together. So yeah, I think them boys
are nice.
And
the last question, because the podcast is called Can You Put Me on Guest List, is do you have a guest list rule?
Don't ask. I'm joking. I don't. Well, I do actually. I'm lying. I don't know why I said I don't. Just my close people always come first. My close friends, my family, they always come first. If I do have a lot of guests' faces and my close friends don't come, I'll always give it to people that I know that come to most of my shows. And if they come in and if they, you know, they message me, I'll always offer, because I think if they always come and support me, you know, and buy tickets and, you know, still don't get bored of my sets, then if I can help them out in some way of just getting them in for free, then I will do. That's about it. I don't really give it to people that kind of message me and don't follow me. And I'm I do a lot of competitions, or, you know, I just put up my story and first come first serve, but it's always my friends first, because they've backed me from day one. And they've been the ones that drove me about and whatever. So they'll never not come first. But yeah, I do love trying to help people out, because I know, obviously, you know, everyone knows cost of living, everything's getting so expensive now. So if I can save someone a £20-30 ticket, especially a student or whatever, then I'll go out of my way to do that. So
yeah,
about it really. So yeah.
Alicia, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. It's been so nice to chat with you. It always is. And I'm super excited for you this year. You've got big things coming. I mean, you've had an amazing last few years, but it's just getting bigger and better. And yeah, I'm like super excited for you. You deserve everything. Yeah.
We'll have to link up in Ibiza, definitely.
We will. Maybe I might come next week. It's also Amnesia open in the evening. I have to work in the evening.
What's on that Amnesia next Saturday?
It's the opening.
What? I'll have a look at the lineup. Because I'm just in the day. So I'm at Ushuaia in the day. And then we'll probably, because I'm there, we're literally going till Monday. So I'll see who's on and then, Pretty funny. Never. Never.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I'll see you very soon.
Soon.
Thank you.